This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by iFixit, introducing the all-new ProTech Toolkit to give you the compact and complete toolkit for all things DIY. For $5 off your purchase of $10 or more, go to ifixit.com/twit and enter the code KNOWHOW at checkout. And by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit. Today on KNOWHOW,
it's NAB 2016, Part 2.
Welcome to Know-How. It's the Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballas here.
I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next hour or so, we're going to be showing you some of the best tech from NAB 2016 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Brian.
Yes.
This is our second special from the LiveView booth here. Right. That was LiveView very generously created for us, along with a new tech TriCaster and some Panasonic PTZs.
That's my favorite part of the whole time. It's been these Panasonic PTZs.
That's because you don't let me play with the little switch thingy.
That and the zoom on them allows me to spy on everyone.
That was bad. Yes, folks, if you don't know what he's talking about, check out his Twitter feed. He's a bad, bad man. But you know who isn't a bad, bad man?
John?
No.
Who?
No, he's a bad man. No, the man sitting on my other
That's
side.
Right.
Because, folks, in order to bring you the tech, we thought that we should bring them to the LiveView booth rather than going out there so they can give us the little bits and pieces that you need to build. Next to me is Ryan Perkovsky.
You got it.
He is an engineer with Shure Incorporated. Now, of course, you know Shure because I had one of their devices on our list for Podcasting 101. If you want a high-quality mic that's also flexible, you should get an XLR unit and then use a Shure X2U to go from XLR to USB, although he has told me that that's not true anymore.
That is no longer the case.
That's no longer the gold standard.
Our new gold standard is the MVI, which I have here in the desk.
Ooh, okay, so Jammerby, if you could get a close-up of this. Now, let me explain what this is. This is sort of a desktop version of the X2U, but much souped up and much more durable. Tell me about the features of this.
Yeah, so this is built off our new Motive platform. It's essentially USB anything. Works with Mac, PC, iOS, Android. And the nice thing is you have essentially a nice mic pre and a Ooh. DI box contained in one box. You have noticed the combo jack on it.
Oh, wait, combo jack.
Yes.
Okay, so that means I can use it with USB and Lightning?
No, yes, you can. In terms of, we ship it with both cables, a standard USB and a micro B to Lightning adapter as well.
Very nice. Now, I am accustomed to a certain level of quality from my Shure X2U, and I need that in order to be able to, well, you know, do what I do. Am I going to get the same thing or better from this?
Oh, we definitely won't disappoint you.
Yeah.
So you're going to actually get something better, I'd say. I think from a form factor standpoint, we've been really well received in this tabletop form factor. It's all cast construction. You see there's a non-slip pad on the bottom, so you can put this on there, hang off cables, and not have to worry about it being all over your workplace.
Yeah, and Jammerby, if you could either go to Brian's computer or look at the close-up camera here so that our audience can get a closer look at this. Something I should mention is this is not a plastic casing. You have made this have a little bit of heft, which I like, because this means that when I'm moving my setup on my desk, this isn't just going to be dragged along. It actually will resist being dragged
exactly.
across my desktop. It's the little touches like that that make me like Shure Gear. Speaking of Shure Gear, this is not the only microphone accessory that you've brought to the booth. You've got an interesting pod-looking capsule thing over there. What is that?
So it seems this is one that's very popular in our Motive line. This is a mid-side stereo iOS mic. It's still a USB microphone, but it's packaged to work with any iOS product. And the nice thing of this is you plug it into it and it comes with a free app, which will automatically download when plugged into your phone. Let me show you quick. And when you plug it in, it becomes the control surface for the app.
Oh, nice. Jammerby, get in on this because you got to see this.
So now I can record 24-bit 48K stereo audio directly to my iOS device.
Oh, nice.
You'll see here, the app controls every functionality of the mic. So I can control the stereo width, the gain, different preset modes, and then it handles up to 123 dB SPL input. So I can go from interview mode, such as this, or shooting you live feeds, or going to a rock concert and recording my friend's band.
Oh, I love it. Now, this is the kind of technology that I think a lot of our listeners will love, because it means that they can use a device that they're already carrying.
Absolutely.
To have high-quality audio.
We had a lot of our customers come in and say, hey, we love you guys' mic, but I want to plug it right into my phone or my computer. So we really responded to that with this Motive line, and something like this really exemplifies how you can take awesome audio and put it in a pocket-sized form factor and really make true mobile content creation.
Brian, what do you think about this? I mean, you're always in the no-hole. You're down in the basement, and
yes.
I see you've got your recording set up.
I've stolen your Shure accessory,
yes,
so
actually,
I can do my own recording.
I was going to talk about that.
Well, if you upgrade to this, does it mean I get your old stuff?
Actually, yes. So, Jammer B, if you could get me one of these, that'd be fantastic. Is this something that you would use out in the field? I mean, because
yes.
You every once in a while, I know that you go out there, you want to do a little bit of a recording, mm-hmm. and we drag a pretty sizable setup with us.
Yeah, we definitely have like a backpack full of stuff, but I feel like, you know, you could get away with having that and just your phone, and then you'd be able to record on the go, and it would be super helpful for something like this where we're at NAB and we're walking from booth to booth, and we just want to get clean audio, get some recording, and the fact that you can just plug it into your phone like that is awesome. Is there an Android equivalent, or is it iPhone only?
So right now this is iPhone only. Any of these other Motive products, including the MVI, and we have some microphones as well, those work with anything USB. So we're working with Android, iOS, PC, or Mac.
Fantastic. We have been speaking with Ryan Perkowski. Did I say that
you
right?
You got it. Thank
he is an engineer
much.
With Shure Incorporated. Ryan, if they want to find out more about these products, and I know they will because I know my audience, where should they go?
They should go to Shure.com, and it's the name of the product line. It's called Motive, M-O-T-I-V. There's about 5 different products in the line. All the information is on the website, and there's some great demo videos and some explanations as well. Or stop by the booth, please.
All right. Thanks again. Absolute pleasure. Anytime
thank
I get
you.
To see quality at the booth, I'm a happy man. So thanks for bringing by the toys.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Oh, you know, we have been promising this Podcasting 101
right.
series for a while, and we are kind of kicking it off here at NAB. Of course, we've talked about before how audio needs to be flawless. You can
yes.
you can take a couple of glitches on video, but if your audio is not good, they just tune out.
Right, and I feel like when we first, I think it was like Know How 40
yes.
or something
way
like that,
no,
where we
ago.
Did podcasting mobile, and it was like you had to have a big rig where you held your recording device. You had like a shotgun mic that had some sort of attachment that would go on the top. It seems like now it's just like everything is shrinking down. You put a couple things in your pocket. As long as you have your phone with you, that's your interface for recording or capturing video.
I love it. Well, you know, let's switch gears a little bit because it can't always be just cool gear, portable microphones, and XLR to USB interface that we are definitely going to buy. Sometimes you want to see what else you need to fill your strategic vision for broadcasting. That's why I am speaking with Rudy Ellis. He is the CEO and co-founder of Switchboard. Rudy, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
So what is Switchboard?
So Switchboard is a platform that allows a broadcaster, content creator to increase their audience by syndicating to multiple platforms.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now we kind of do this at Twit, and
yeah.
we had to do it the old-fashioned way, which is we have scripts and servers that will automatically transcode into different format so that we can send to YouTube and Twitch and
exactly.
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
This takes that work out of the game.
Encoder to Switchboard out to many destinations.
Oh, okay. I like this. Now, break it down for me. If I, let's say I started my own podcast network and I've got 5 or 6 shows and I would really like to push it to the most popular content platforms, how would I use Switchboard? So guide me through the process from start to finish.
So one of the things, do you start off with Encoder? So we'll use like the Live eSolo right here.
First, yes.
Plugs right into the Switchboard platform. You go through a quick little easy process to pick the YouTubes, the Twitches, whatever you need to go. And we'll handle all the metadata going onto the platforms. We'll syndicate it out. We'll start their event. You can actually view all the viewers on the different platforms. We have an integrated chat, so imagine if you're chatting on, you know, you have people on one platform and another platform. We have one centralized view, so you can view all the chat messages coming in. So our whole goal is to make that process super easy and super seamless.
See, that's something that we could have used. How long ago did we bought together that system?
I want to say it's been about 2 years now because I haven't made as many mistakes since we've gone to that system. But I'm also looking at the list of all the supported platforms. It doesn't look like you guys leave much out here.
Yeah, you should. You guys can try us out. You know, we have a free account. You can sign up and give it a whirl. So we have people from all different types. So like, actually, I'm leaving tonight, going back to Orlando, Florida. Playlist Live is a huge event.
Oh yeah.
Top 100 YouTubers come to Central Florida. We're going to be streaming on 5 different platforms. Live Views hooked us up with a bunch of encoders that we're going to use, going mobile throughout the whole world. Marriott taking over this whole entire environment. That's a goal there.
Awesome.
What I like about this is you've taken something that has typically been a very distasteful task.
Yes.
Because I've finished. I've created the content. I've edited. It's ready to go. And now I have to decide where I'm going to spend my time on pushing it up to platforms. And sometimes, for some people, that takes longer than making the content itself. I mean, if they're doing a vlog in 20 minutes and editing for 5 minutes, they don't want to then spend the next 10 hours transcoding to every format and uploading to every service.
Well, remember, this is live.
Oh, that's even better.
So yeah, we do that process for live. So we, you're right, that's the VOD process is one thing, but this is primarily spaced in the live space.
Now, where do you see this going? Because there aren't a lot of competitors in your space who cater to the customers that you seem to be catering
exactly.
to. I mean, you're reaching out to the new broadcaster, to
Correct.
The new media folk.
Correct.
Where do you want to take this? So if we invite you back to NAB 2017 and we say, okay, where is Switchboard? How have you grown? What do you offer now? What's your dream? What's your vision?
So right now we want to be integrated with different encoders and platforms as well. So we have an API that we just developed. This is one of the first platforms that we integrated with. And it's awesome because, you see the feedback that we're getting for people to be able to go in and make that workflow pretty seamless. So to answer your question is, more integration with, hardware platforms and really utilizing our platform to grow people's audiences.
Phenomenal. That's phenomenal. We have been speaking with Rudy Ellis. He is the CEO and co-founder of Switchboard. Rudy, but before you go, of course, we love any service that's going to make the work of our audience easier. If you could please tell them where they can find Switchboard, where they can find you. This is your plug time. Let them know where they find Rudy.
Sure. Definitely go to www.switchboard.live. Follow us on Twitter at Switchboard Live. Feel free to try out our account and give us a whirl.
Switchboard, spend more time broadcasting, less time uploading. Rudy, again, thank you for your time and good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Going back to Elroy, which was created because of this problem,
right?
It seems as if, you kind of had to botch together a solution. There hasn't been a lot of really good services that will push your content out to the platforms you want.
Well, yeah, especially when we were doing this stuff 2 or 3 years ago. I can't think of any other people that were kind of doing the multiple. We were doing audio, we were doing small video, large video, HD, and then. Before we started our Elroy process, I had to go in and change the individual numbers, and that's where I got in trouble a few times, is not incrementing my numbers. But that is I was hoping to look a little closer at that box, but he took it away.
You did, I know. Well, maybe we can get it back a little bit later.
Maybe we can test it out, yeah.
But you know what? We do need to spend just a little bit of time to thank the sponsor of Know How.
Should. Yeah.
It's a good thing to do, and I think it builds up community, because we're not just showing off an advertiser. We're showing off those sponsors, those services that we think are most useful to the people in our business. And right now, we need to thank the one that we like the most, iFixit. Now, folks, if you are a maker, if you're a builder, if you're a person who just likes to take things apart, there's no reason why you don't have iFixit. Brian and I both use it. It is the kit that we swear by each and every single time we do a project for Know How. Now, iFixit is your company, your complete DIY electronics repair solution. From their 19,000 free step-by-step repair guides to their huge inventory of replacement parts and tools with lifetime warranty, iFixit has got your repair needs covered. Now, today we're talking about their latest and greatest, the all-new ProTech Toolkit. Now, it's gorgeous, completely reimagined. It's a design that is as rugged as and portable as before. In fact, I would even say it's better. It's smaller, it's more compact, and it handles more abuse. Oh, it's easier to use. The tools are easier to access because it's got this magnetic backing so that all the bits are held into place. You don't have to struggle to push them in and out, and that means fewer bits that get lost. It also includes the new 64-bit driver kit, which replaced the former 54-bit driver kit, and that more durable case and the magnets and the more bits means fewer repair roadblocks. It means you can be in and out and upgraded much more quickly. They've also included tools like a precision ESD-safe tweezer, a pair of reverse tweezers, and a wide variety of plastic opening tools and picks to safely work on tablets and smartphones without marring the surface. Brian and I both swear by these because there's nothing like prying open a case with a screwdriver and ending up destroying your really fancy, new, expensive gear. Don't do it, folks. Do it the right way. Do it with iFixit. And the best part is it's backed by iFixit's lifetime warranty, and you get all of the repair guides for free. If you are at all a maker or a builder, don't trust anyone else. Use the kit that we use on KnowHow. Now, right now, we want you to grab an all-new ProTech toolkit and get going on your next fix, hack, or build. Just head over to iFixit.com/twit and use the code KnowHow at checkout to save $5 on your purchase of $10 or more. Again, that's iFixit.com/twit and use the code KnowHow. And we thank iFixit for their support of KnowHow. Hey, Drone, Brian, I kind of spoiled the surprise.
Do you have something on your mind?
I have something on my mind. You know what we tend to talk about a lot on KnowHow?
I want to say quadcopters.
Quadcopters, you know, drones. You know,
yeah, drones. Yeah.
We kind of like them. And, yes. You know, we like to fly them. They're fun. But
fly them, crash them, break them.
Especially crash them, break them.
Upgrade them.
Yes.
Break them again.
Mostly crash. But 2016 has been the year where drones have really kind of grown up. We don't just fly them for fun anymore. We don't just fly them so we can strap on a GoPro and see what shots we might get. There are companies here that have actually figured out that the drone platform, this ability to take something that's very simple, send it up in the air, has so many more applications past sports flying or photography.
Yes, definitely. And I think we have someone here to talk about that.
We
right?
do. It's like the magic of broadcasting. Right? He's just like, wait, hold on. Floop. There we go. Thank you, Jammer B. That's right, folks. We are sitting next to Christopher McCall. He is the COO of PhotoKite. Christopher, I'm assuming this is a big can of Pringles, maybe?
This is the PhotoKite Fee. It's a tethered aerial camera system.
Okay. Tethered. There's a lot of things there that just got me very excited. okay, let's first talk about tethered.
Sure.
Is that what it actually sounds like? So I've got a connection to the ground.
Absolutely. Imagine a kite that is producing its own wind.
Okay, I like this. And what are we using? What are you doing with that? So I've got something that I can send up in the air that I can tether to my workstation, but what do I do with it once it's in the air?
Well, so what we've made is the most compact, lightweight GoPro carrying aerial system out there.
Oh, okay. Now, there are going to be people who say, wait a minute, hold on. I've got this. I built this. This was a project on KnowHow a year ago. Why would I buy something else just because it has a tether? What does the tether let you do that I can't do with my 450 class Alien X quadcopter?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of different advantages to it. One way to think about it is the tether, if you do controls intelligently, can completely replace GPS. So the systems that we make are GPS free. Okay. You can use them indoors, underground, next to buildings, no problem, no issue with GPS lock dropping out.
Okay, yeah, and I could see that. Yeah, when I'm dealing with a quadcopter, like I did a project not long ago, right before InterDrone last year, where I was trying to send up a repeater on a quadcopter, and it worked really, really well until the quadcopter went away.
yeah, flyaways happen.
It's somewhere here in Las Vegas. If anyone sees a quadcopter with a repeater attached to it on the roof, please, my name is Brian Burnett. And you can contact me on Twitter at Cranky Hippo, and please call the FAA. But, okay, so with the tethered approach, I know it's going to stay in my area of operation.
That's right. Yeah, it's physically tethered to you. You have persistent physical interaction with the system, a lot like you do with a kite. Because of that, you get things like follow me for completely free.
All right, so I could tie this to the back of my car and do a nice little follow me shot.
That's right. Actually, you guys want to see it?
Yes, please.
Yeah, take it out.
Actually, no, wait, no. I like the Pringles cap.
Got it.
No, take it out. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, so the cap comes off. There's a leash that goes in your hand. The system pops out, unfolds.
What?
Clips into place, and you're ready to fly.
Oh, wow. I just
Didn't
got
go?
Very happy.
That is awesome.
That is cool. So what gave you the idea for this? I mean, this is a brilliant design. It's like a canister deployed drone.
Thanks very much. Yeah, we've been working really hard on it. We're taking pre-orders for it right now and delivering to our first customers at the end of June.
We've got savvy users, so they're going to demand that we ask for specs. So give us all the spec lust here. What am I looking at? Let me guess first. I'm looking at what 2204, 2206 motors probably.
Pretty
running true. 6-inch props. Oh no, 7-inch props. What kind of flight time am I looking at?
We're looking at 15-minute flight time.
Not bad.
And you actually get a lot of controls boost and therefore endurance boost when you're doing things like follow me mode. When you have a physical tether that's connecting to the vehicle, you're sailing on the wind when you're pulling it around instead of having to fight the wind like a traditional drone.
I did not think of that. That's absolutely true.
Totally. So I imagine because of the compact form factor, you guys had to make some compromises with the battery. Like, how big is the battery in there? How do you even like access it if you wanted to take it out?
So the battery is 1,300 milliamp hours. Mm-hmm. It's very quickly swappable. You just pull it out of the slot right here. But another great thing about the system is that you can actually charge it over USB-C.
Cool.
So it's really a self-contained system.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about full system integration, right? What we tried to do is make something as light and easy to use, keep it safe, keep it simple, and get it into everybody's hands.
What I like about this is we're always trying to show off tech at our specials that maybe other people hadn't thought about. And tethering is one of these ideas that could really alleviate some of the fears that are flaring up right now about drones, that they're going to get away from you. They're going to fly away. They're going to hit something they're not supposed to hit. If I start releasing a tethered application, I can say, no, look, it can't fly away. It can crash 10 feet away from me, but that's it. And now suddenly becomes less scary.
Yeah, it totally changes the interaction, right? And because of that, it totally changes the rules. Yeah.
I think my favorite part is that because it's so much more portable now, I would be much more willing to take this places that I wouldn't take my other drone because all I have is my backpack. And my 450 isn't going to collapse and fit in my backpack.
Right.
So I would love to, try that out.
Yeah, there's tons of problems with traditional drones, and portability is one of them, right? It's a very dedicated action to go take this out, have a huge case, carry it somewhere with you, go hiking or something. With a system like this, you can throw it in your backpack, cruise around with it, have it ready for you anytime.
So one more question I have is that, for me, it's inevitable that I'm going to crash. It's not a matter of if, but when for me.
Sure.
Now, is it fairly easy to replace parts? Can you get extra parts for this?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of making a good product is making sure that it's assemblable and unassemblable very easily, right? So if you pop an arm, for instance, you can just snap a new one in place, remount the motor, and you're ready to go.
Awesome. I like that.
We have been speaking with Christopher McCall. He is the COO of Photokite. They're trying out a new concept in drones, tethering. Now, if you think you might want to explore what a tethered drone can do for you, like, for example, if you run a tour company and you want a bunch of people to rent drones every time they go out on the beach, this would actually be a really good product to talk to. Now, if they wanted to find out more about the Photokite, if they wanted to find out more about, you're doing a Kickstarter?
We did an Indiegogo last year. We're still taking pre-orders and delivering this summer.
Well, give them the information. Where can they go?
So you can go to photokite.com. That's Photokite. Go right to the page. You'll find the order now button, and it's good and simple.
Well, Christopher, we can't stop talking about drones, but Leo Laporte told us that if we had more than one drone per show, he would actually kill us. So you're the one. Thank you very much.
We're honored. Thanks very much.
And best of luck to you, and happy tethering.
Appreciate it.
Okay, now, Ryan.
Yeah.
Can we say that wasn't a drone because it's not like remote controlled?
There's no autonomous kind of feature. I don't know.
I think we have a legitimate way to tell the audience who don't like us talking about drones that they just saw a kite, not a drone.
I suppose the only thing that I would like to add is to actually power it over the line.
That'd be kind of cool.
And then just keep it up forever.
I would do that, and then I would forget that it's up.
and then try and walk into a building.
And then Father Superior would come by and say, Robert, did you leave a drone flying in the backyard? And I'd have to say, nope.
Not me.
No, that must have been the other priest.
Happens all the time.
All right, so we did our drone story. Let's go ahead and move on, because we do want to talk to someone who can offer something a little bit different here at NAB. We have been talking about gear lust. We've been talking about the gadgets that we want in our podcasting rig. We've even talked a little bit about a new level of drone. Let's talk instead to someone who provides content for millions of dads and their geeky offspring. Folks, I welcome you to Chris Wickersham from GeekDad. Chris, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, there are people out there who, I assume, don't follow GeekDad. They don't know what GeekDad is. I follow you on Twitter. I love your stories. What is GeekDad? What do you do?
Well, GeekDad is an online publishing platform. We have a group of dads from all over the world, mostly the U.S., but we're worldwide. It's a group of men, and frankly, now we've merged with Geek Mom, and we're now one site. So we have a much broader spectrum of stories and articles to share. But what we do is we're engineers, we're DIY, we're makers, we're farmers and woodworkers. Anything that you can get geeky about, we have someone providing content to satisfy your geek lust.
This is one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the new media revolution. The fact that something like GeekDad, which I find invaluable, I mean, it does actually act as an inspiration for some of the projects that I do on the weekend. But
thanks.
It finds its audience. You no longer have to pitch it and prove that it's something that people will actually watch. You just put it out there and you watch people take it for what it is.
Yeah, I think it really speaks to a new generation of adults that are making their own way. They're looking for things that interest them, and they're going to pursue them without relying on the traditional channels that we used to.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
We'll say within the last year.
Okay.
Give me your favorite build or geek project that has ended up on GeekDad.
Wow. That's a tough one. Let's see. Favorite geek build or project. I'm going to go ahead and talk about probably one of mine. It would be hard to be too humble about that, but we did a build of a wind tunnel.
Oh wow!
So it was my own build. My children were driving and they had their hands out the window, and they were talking about the way the wind moved around their hand and that they wished they could see it. So in traditional Geek Dad fashion, I thought, well, that's what we're going to do this weekend. So we took some styrofoam from the hardware store and a fan, and we got some dry ice to make some visible fog, and we built a little styrofoam wind tunnel in our garage, and my kids absolutely loved it.
It's great that you bring that up, because we actually just did something like that. We did a Science Monday on Know How. It was fire and ice.
Yes.
So we did everything from showing the Leidenfrost effect.
Oh yeah,
on
I
a
remember.
Hot plate.
Yeah.
With little water beads, all the way to using dry ice to make comets,
mm-hmm.
and to make a vortex generator. So
very cool.
It's funny because we didn't do it before because we never thought people would be interested in a project that. It's a little too sciencey, but it was one of the most downloaded episodes of Know How ever. And I think you've captured a little bit about that. It's that whole science lust that happens every once in a while, and I'm glad that you're doing it.
And it's about not being afraid to just try. You don't have to think that you've got to be a scientist working in a lab to be able to do something creative and constructive with your kids.
And also, Brian and I have found out that it's much easier if we show all the things we did wrong.
Absolutely. Because failure is a huge part of it.
Yeah, we do that quite often. And just by browsing the site, you don't have to be a dad, right?
No, absolutely not. No. In fact, I've had comments lately from folks that say, I went to Geek Dad, and there weren't a lot of stories about dads and their kids or moms and their kids. And I said, it's not just about being a dad. We're dads, and we're passionate, but that creative part of you can be expressed in so many different ways.
No, that's really cool. I think if I ever do have kids, I would introduce them to the site for sure.
Oh, great. Thanks.
You having kids is one of the scariest things I can think of.
Yeah, it's going to be
I've got five. If you want to borrow one, feel free.
I think that's a different website. We have been speaking with Chris Wickersham. Wickersham, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to Briticize it.
I know, it's very fancy.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, we are here at Nabby McNabface, so it only figures. He runs Geek Dad. It is a great place for you to go, even if you don't have children, even if you're not a Geek Dad, if you want to find out some fun experiments for science, for technology, or if you just want to find out the pulse of geek culture. We are geeks. You are geeks. Thank you so very much for stopping by. If you could tell the folks again where they can go, give them your website, give them your Twitter address. This is your plug time.
Sure. So just to be clear, I don't run Geek Dad.
Of course.
I'm a contributing writer. But go check us out at geekdad.com, at Geek Dad on Twitter. And if you don't mind, I would love to plug one of my projects that I'm working on. I'm part of a film production studio that's starting up in Phoenix, Arizona. And we have been inspired by other geeks to go ahead and do something that we thought was impossible. And so we have a podcast where we talk about film and entertainment news. It's We Are Entertained, and you can find us on Twitter at @entertainedcast. Thanks a lot.
Cool. That's Chris Wickersham of Geek Dad. Thank you again for geeking out with us on Know How.
Thanks.
So, you know, what I'm thinking now is we need to do all the Geek Dad projects. But don't tell them because they might get upset.
No, we won't. Well, yeah, sorry if I was really quiet during that because I got lost.
I saw that. You're looking at all their projects.
All the projects, and then I got this... I guess this is going to be Star Wars Land at Disneyland. It's like a 360 photo. And they even got a little BB-8.
Wait, Ryan, are you falling down an internet rabbit hole?
Yeah, I really
should
not
have started. During a live show? What is wrong with you?
That's what happens when you start browsing a website.
Oh, my goodness. Look, all right, let's switch gears again. We were doing some Geek Dad. Let's go ahead and go back to the production side of broadcasting. We like to give you the vendors, the companies, the services that you're going to need in order to take all of your content to the next level, which is why we are speaking with Lynn Elliott, the manager of desktop marketing at Telestream. Lynn, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so what is, come a little closer to me. There we go.
All right.
There we go. The cameras love it when we're a big, happy family. So what is Telestream doing at NAB?
So Telestream has really been embedded in the video industry since 1998, and we have products from all the way up at the top level, from broadcast, for broadcast engineers and broadcast stations, all the way down to the individual, where we do desktop applications and utilities like Flip for Mac, for people who just want to watch video on their Mac or on their PC. And some of the products that we have are Wirecast.
Of course, yes.
Game Show. Episode, ScreenFlow, Flip for Mac. Those are some of the popular products that we have.
What I love about Telestream is you've really capitalized on the new media revolution. So anybody with a decent desktop and an idea for content can become a broadcaster, can become a creator, and you've enabled that. How have you seen that grow up over, say, the last 10 years?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been like the desktop publishing revolution back in the 90s. Suddenly, everybody has the access to software that can make them a broadcaster and put their videos or their shows on YouTube, on Twitch, on now even Facebook Live. And so it's been growing exponentially as far as we're concerned, as far as we've seen.
Yeah.
And it just keeps continuing to grow.
Now, I think Wirecast is probably the Telestream product that all of our audience will have heard of, because it is a way for someone on a budget to get switching that you otherwise wouldn't see except from a multi tens of thousands of dollar piece of equipment.
Right.
What would you say is the most requested feature on Wirecast?
Oh, gosh. The most requested feature? Well, as you know, Wirecast is production and live encoding. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people request to go out to different destinations. So they want to go to YouTube Live, or they want to go to, Facebook Live is one that we just introduced. In fact, last week we announced an integration with Facebook Live, so you can live stream directly to your Facebook page from Wirecast. And what's nice about that is Facebook has their app that you can do it on the phone, but Wirecast gives you all that production value. So you can switch between cameras, you can add lower thirds and graphics and make it a really nice production. And suddenly you've got this audience out there that you've never been able to reach before, and you're getting hundreds of thousands of people you're reaching.
Give me a typical production job through the eyes, through the world of Telestream. So what product would they start with, what would they go through, and what would they end up with? Give me the dream scenario. For a Telestream executive, how would they like the next big new media content creator to use your company's products?
Well, we have so many products, like I said, and we target so many different audiences, which is one of the great things about Telestream, because like I said, we're hitting the broadcast engineers at the top of the industry with our Vantage Media Processing platform. And so those guys are doing a lot of different things than the person who just wants to sit home and make their home videos using ScreenFlow or make an online tutorial using ScreenFlow. So it's kind of a hard question to answer. Sorry to dodge it, but I feel like it just depends on who you are in the industry and what you're trying to achieve. So we also have some new iOS live streaming. In fact, I brought an example here. Our Wirecast product, we've brought out a...
He's getting in there. Jammer is slow but steady.
It takes a very gentle touch. Oh. Yeah.
Don't touch
the
sides.
So we've launched Wirecast Go, which is an iOS app that gives you production and live streaming from your iPhone. So you get several different layers. So you use your iPhone camera, and then you can add several different layers of graphics or recorded video that's coming from your iPhone, and you can put that together, switch between your shots, and then stream out to YouTube Live. And that's a free app on the App Store right now, and you can unlock it for $5.99 and get more shots and get streaming out to any RTMP server.
That's pretty cool. I think I would use the little Shure microphone in conjunction with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that is one of the most interesting parts about this whole phenomenon that we see here at NAB, and that is I can put a studio in my pocket, literally. I mean, from camera to audio to editing to broadcasting, and it can be all on one device.
Yeah.
It's just, it boggles the mind.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so very much for speaking with us. Now, if they wanted to find out more about Telestream, if they wanted to find out more about Wirecast, if they wanted to get this app, where can they go?
So you can find Telestream at www.telestream.net. If you want Wirecast, it's telestream.net/Wirecast. And we also have a Wirecast Go page on our site, too. You can just navigate to that. And the Wirecast Go app is on the App Store. It's free. Like I said, you can download it and unlock some additional features for $5.99.
We have been speaking with Lynn Elliott. She is the manager of desktop marketing at Telestream. Thank you so very much for sharing your technology
with
us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being part of the special.
Thanks. It's been fun.
Brian, when we come back, I want to bring on an old friend of the show.
I've been watching him walk back and forth anxiously, waiting.
With someone who came on over 2 years ago on Know How and on the Twit TV network and showed us a piece of tech that we really enjoyed. But, you know, before we get there, I do want to take a moment to thank the second sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, Brian, you've heard me preach to the choir on what we do with our services and what we do with our apps.
Yes. And it seems like it used to be a lot more complicated.
It did. Because if you wanted to put a service or an app, it means you would have to get the hardware and you would have to get a colo. You'd have to make sure you have a bandwidth agreement. And if you're going to do financial transactions, you have to set up an agreement with a financial processor and also hire someone to make sure that all the gear and the software stays up to date.
I just wanted to set up a Minecraft server, Padre.
Unfortunately, there is no way to do that. Oh, wait, no, there is. And it's called DigitalOcean. Now, DigitalOcean is the easiest way for you to get your next generation server, app, website, portfolio, whatever it may be, up and running on the internet. Now, whether you're developing an app, a website, or working on a server-based project, you need flexible. In fact, you deserve a reliable and affordable hosting. Well, that's exactly what DigitalOcean does with Droplets. These are virtual private servers that can be customized and deployed easily to host your websites, your web apps, your production applications, your servers, your personal projects, even as Brian said, your Minecraft servers. Now, this helps you get your project off the ground quickly, and it makes it easy for you to scale when you find success. It's used by over 600,000 developers, including Twit's Randall Schwartz, Aram Newcomb, and myself. Now, DigitalOcean lets you deploy and configure your Droplets via a streamlined control panel or a simple API. You choose your OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. Then you select from one of the many pre-configured one-clicks like Drupal, Docker, or Node.js. Or if you need, you can design your infrastructure exactly the way you want, with root access to servers running 100% SSD storage in state-of-the-art data centers around the world. DigitalOcean is highly scalable to meet your demand, so you can start small, maybe one CPU with a little bit of storage so that you can try your service or your app with a couple of friends. And then with the swipe of a switch in the control panel, you can go global around the world in all of their data centers with as many CPUs and as much bandwidth and storage as you require. One of the things I really like about DigitalOcean is the fact that their community is active. That means the people who use their service care enough about the company to come back, give their stories, give their testimonials, and help newbies with the problems that they may have had when they set up. I tell you, it's so easy to get started. You can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. There's really no reason not to try DigitalOcean unless you're worried about price. And let me get rid of that concern right now, because DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing with servers starting at just $5 a month. There's also hourly pricing available starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so that you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. Just visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code KNOWHOW for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do for you. Again, that's DigitalOcean.com, DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your free $10 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support of this KNOWHOW special. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
Let's welcome back to the show someone who, we've had a lot of fun with. We've loved his gear. We've loved his vision for showing off where the International Space Station is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Liam Kennedy, again, the founder and the inventor of ISS Above. Liam, thank you very much for coming back.
Oh, it's so great to come back here again.
Now, for the folks who maybe don't have a long memory, we had ISS Above way, way back. It was, I think, more than 2 years ago when you showed off a simple device using a Raspberry Pi and a glow shield and some software that you came up with, along with all the math that you had to do to find out when the International Space Station would be above us. And it was sort of a way to tell those space viewing folk, this is where you should be looking.
That was it. And it started off in TWIT when Jammer B put the original version that was a Kickstarter 3D printed version just in front of Leo on a Saturday afternoon, and Leo saw it flashing and said, what is this? The International Space Station, is it coming over right now? Which was exactly what it was all about then.
And now, so you've upgraded. Mm. So the first version just showed us the lights when the ISS was above. The new version running on a Raspberry Pi 2 or 3, this actually shows us trajectories. And my favorite part is when it gets close, it actually starts live broadcasting whatever feed NASA might be pushing out.
Yeah, so at that time, I only had maybe a couple of hundred out there in the world. Now there's over 1,200. They're going into schools. NASA is now buying them. And just a few weeks ago, they bought some. They're in Johnson Space Center. And then,
in fact, I think, didn't Bill Nye, the science guy, he didn't do an ad for you. You didn't pay him. He just decided he really liked this thing, and he showed it off to his audience.
Yeah, but Bill is one of those people that's really inspired when people get connected with their passion for space. And he was a very early adopter of ISS Above and has one in his home in Studio City and then in his apartment in New York and never shuts up about it, apparently. I met Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's a good friend of his, at an event, and I said, hey, I'm Liam. I'm the ISS Above guy. And I said, oh, yeah, that thing. Bill never stops talking about it. So,
right.
But the TWIT audience, I just want to say, is really precious to me, because that very first show I had on Coding 101, there was a little discount code for any of the geeks out there on TWIT TV who have Raspberry Pis. You can get the download where you get a 50% off for Coding 101. So, and I just love it whenever that happens, and it happens still.
Well, I think that's why this was one of my favorite projects that we ever covered, because this kind of, this is like the basis of what we had KNOWHOW for. You know, this is an idea that you had. When you started this, the Raspberry Pi was still kind of a new thing. How has it evolved since the beginning, just as short steps to what it is now?
Yeah, so obviously I had to completely redesign the software to work with the HDMI output as it is now. One of the key things is that I have to scale it to work with thousands of users, and in fact, I'm trying to get it to go into every school in the nation. And there are parts of it now where the code relies upon some cloud servers that I've got running. So when the live video is being displayed, I overlay the details, the name of the place where the space station is over, and instead of having a thousand devices all trying to use online geocoding services to do that, my server in the cloud now handles that.
That is so cool. This is so much more sophisticated than the last time we talked about
and
this.
It even has the capability to play out other videos as well. So it's a whole ISS video playout system. Now it's showing who's up there on the space station.
Can we make a version of this for like Twit above for when Leo Laporte is flying over people? Because I mean that, and then we just play out Twit videos. I think
it starts lighting up whenever like Know How's about to come on.
We've got a Know How project.
Hey, I'm up for it.
Liam, I have to ask, what's next? You are always tinkering with ISS above. You're always adding features, and things always just show up, which I love. Where do you want to take this?
So as far as this is concerned, this is now auto-updating. That's one of the key things. So customers who have them now get new features automatically added to it. But there's a big thing going on with the cameras. So on the space station, the cameras that I get the live feed from, they're actually scheduled to be removed and thrown away in about a year and a half. And believe it or not, I'm just crazy enough to say that I'm going to be the one to replace them. So, and it could be Twit as well. Hey, it could be people of Twit. It could be the biggest crowdsourced new camera system on the International Space Station. And it's not just a pipe dream now. I actually have now partners who launch things to the space station, and there's a potential for permanent locations on the station that people like us can design things for. And it could be the biggest know-how thing.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you guys to be a partnership of that.
Well, I'll say this. You could, because they do have a Raspberry Pi on the space station.
The Astro Pi, yes.
You could provide them with just an SD card for the new software for Twit below, so that the ISS guys get a light whenever they pass over the studio.
Much smaller audience, yeah.
Hey, I'm up for integrating Twit with the International Space Station in any way that we can.
Liam Kennedy, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for sharing the ISS above with us, and thank you for bringing a little bit of geekery back into Know How. If they want to find out where you are, where they can pick one of these up, where can they go?
Just go to issabove.com, and you'll find all the information that you need there. And remember that code, Coding101. I guess it should be Know-How now.
Yeah, I know. Again, that's Liam Kennedy, the founder, the inventor of ISS Above. We thank you for joining us on this Know-How special.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, Liam.
That's the sort of stuff that I love seeing in our Google group, when people come back and they show us the projects that they've made, especially when they do it better than we did.
Like a proud father. Aren't you always a proud father?
No.
No, not always. No, that's what I like about this project, is that Liam obviously is very passionate about the International Space Station, and he just did this kind of as a hobby, like kind of this little silly project that we do on our show, and then it's like snowballed into this huge thing where he's actually interacting with the International Space Station. He was telling me earlier that if the video actually goes down, it's because the friends he's made at NASA are actually here at NAB. They're not monitoring the video feeds. So.
No, yeah, there we go. Now, we did want to give you a little something special. We know that we've talked a lot about services. We brought a drone onto the show. We showed you some audio gear. But what about an accessory for camera people that is to die for? That's right. Last year, we took a look at some of the gear at Wooden Camera, and it really got our juices up. We love their gear. We love what it can do for the active cameraman out there. And so we have brought Ryan Shorman, the president of Wooden Camera, over to the LiveView booth to tell us about what Wooden Camera has for you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I interviewed you last week. Actually, come a little closer. We're all happy here. And tell us, what is the mission of Wooden Camera?
So we started by making products for the Red Epic camera. That was our very first product, was the audio adapter about 6 years ago. And since then, we've grown organically. We've added more complex products. And now we have a system that works for just about every camera out on the market right now. We really try to match the right balance of form and function and price. So we're sort of the mid-level cost, but we have a lot of features in our products.
Right. Now, what I've really loved about Wooden Camera is the fact that it's like a Lego set for cameramen. You choose the accessories, you choose the shoes, you choose the mount, you choose the rail, you choose the handle, and then you make the rig you want. Not the rig that you have to buy, but the rig that has all the customizations that you need. What gave you the idea for creating Wooden Camera?
I was a camera operator, and I did freelance production. I was on a very tight budget. I had purchased the Red One with all of my savings, basically. And then when the new camera came out, I had the idea for one product and just built on the need for an audio adapter that converted two non-standard inputs to XLR. And once we figured out how to make that, it became a little bit easier day by day. And we finally, 6 years later, we are beginning to know what we're doing.
One of the amazing things about the story is anytime you see a company that goes from idea to just in demand, completely in demand, everybody wants it, it means they found an unfilled need, an untapped market. That's very difficult to do in this business. I mean, you can walk around NAB and there's a handful, maybe five or six vendors who are doing something that no one else has done. Why do you think that the demand for Wooden Camera has stayed? I mean, there are now a lot of imitators or a lot of competitors who are trying to do the exact same system that you do. What is it that makes Wooden Camera the premium brand?
Well, we started by innovating, and that's what we continue to do. We refresh product lines about every 2 years, sometimes sooner than that, because a year from now you're going to see a copy of our products on the streets. And it's a little bit of a challenge, but it's good for us because it really forces the innovation.
All right, so enough of the vision talk. Let's bring the rig over here so that Jammer B can get a little close-up with any of our PTZ cameras. Explain to me what we're looking at. So, of course, we've got the central camera in the middle, but then it is surrounded with all the gear I'm going to need to shoot for several hours, to broadcast, to get the right shot, and to control it. What's hanging off these rails?
Sure. So the core of the system is the Sony FS5 with a Zeiss lens. Other than that, everything else is pretty much our product. So from start to finish, we have the base plate, which holds rods, and a lens support that keeps your lens from drooping down if it's a heavy lens. On the front, we have a matte box, which holds filters in front of the lens and shades light from entering the lens area. On the back, we have a power system and a video distribution system. So cameras that are this small often have only one output for video.
Right.
And our C-Box converts one SDI or HDMI signal into three SDI and two HDMI. So that's been very popular with cameras like this and the Red Epic, which has also one SDI. And then we have a power distribution box on the back, which allows you to power multiple accessories, onboard monitors, wireless transmitters like we have here, things of that nature.
What would you say is your most popular accessory, the one that everyone needs to get?
There are two things on a camera that are absolutely required. One is power and one is audio, and those really lead the quantity sales, I would say. Base plates are third to that, and then handles and so on. But what we've really found is we've started meeting the needs of the mid to high-end productions, and I think that's really where our niche is and where we've really built our customer base.
I mean, this is the gear to lust over. I mean, this, if you've got a Wooden Camera rig for your camera, it means you're treating it right. Last question here. So for the people out there who might be aspiring cameramen or who just maybe want the proper rig inside their studio that can also be used on the field, how much would they be investing? I mean, to do it right, how much should they be setting aside in their budget for the support gear for their brand new camera?
So one of the great things about our website is we've created kit levels based on sort of price thresholds. So anything from, you know, $700 to $800 up to, you know, a few thousand dollars, depending on the budget, you can really build a rig that meets your needs. One of the benefits of our system, like you mentioned earlier, is the modularity. You can pick and choose what you want. Oftentimes, people will buy one or two things from us, and then as they their budget increases over time, they can add more items until they build the rig as they really want it.
We have been speaking with Ryan Shorman, the president of Wooden Camera. He is the man who shows us the gear we're going to want after we go home. Ryan, if you could please tell the people out there where they can find Wooden Camera, where they can find you, and where they can find all the reviews that have come out about your marvelous gear.
Yeah, so woodencamera.com is our website. You can make purchases there. We also have a great dealer network, which can be found on our website. We've also opened a retail store in Los Angeles to better serve the film community there as well.
An absolute pleasure. We will see you again at NAB 2017, and I can't wait to see what your imaginative minds come up with.
Thank you.
Ryan, you take care. Hey, you know what? I think that was a full show.
Yeah, I think so. I think well, we could go a little longer, right? Since Alex isn't here.
No, Colleen is.
Oh,
giving
Colleen's
us, he's giving us that
Alex grumble.
Like, yeah, we're pushing into TNT now.
No, so but the thing I liked about the whole show that we've just done is that there's the Maker Project.
Of course,
you know,
yes,
we always got to have that in there. But from the audio to the video capturing to the accessories that you would probably want for your camera, we've covered. Yeah, you know,
pretty much everything.
Everything between part one, part two, NAB. I think we did all right.
I think so. Now, don't forget, this is not the end of our coverage for Podcasting 101. In fact, we are going to be doing an additional series in just a few weeks that will show you some of the simple steps that you can take, some of the less expensive equipment that you can buy if you are a budding podcaster.
But.
Wow, that just happened. But until then, just stay tabbed to our regular know-how episodes. We're going to be bringing you some of the greatest goodness from the Maker DIY world, including we've got more episodes about food, and you know I love food.
deep frying stuff.
We got
to do some more of that.
Indeed.
But with air.
Yes. If they want to find out where to get all the guests that we had on the show today, if they want to find our show notes, where can they go, Brian?
twit.tv/KH, and there's also ways to subscribe to the show, but definitely for like a show that we've done today where we've gone over a lot of topics, you want to go to the show notes and find the web pages of the stuff that we talked about today.
And don't forget that you can also find us in our Google Plus group. Just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. We have over 10,000 members now, and it is a great place for you to find new projects, maybe to ask questions about a project you're having difficulty with, or my personal favorite, post video and pictures of projects that you've made so we can be proud fathers.
Well, that's right. And then maybe we can showcase them. And then once your project gets huge, you can come back on the show and then put your stuff on the International Space Station.
Right. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/PadreSJ.
And I am at @cranky_hippo.
And you can find our TD, our regular TD, Mike, at ANELF3. That's ANELF3.
Oh, actually, he just sent me a text. It's pronounced Alex. Alex.
Yeah, I don't really care. But let's say goodbye by thanking everyone who made this show possible.
Yes.
Of course, that's Lisa and Leo who sent us out to NAB.
Thank you.
Colleen and Carson are absolutely fantastic producers.
This would not have happened at all.
It literally would not have happened. Jammer B, our technical director, Russell, our engineer, and of course to LiveView for giving us a home here at NAB, to Panasonic and NewTek for giving us the technology we need to stream out to our viewers. It's been a lot of fun from NAB 2016. And until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go do it. I was going to say, like, go video it.
Go broadcast it.
Go broadcast it, yeah. NAB.